Good morning. I'm Natalie with KQNK. Today is Tuesday, May 7th. Currently, with fair skies, it is 41 degrees. The humidity is 70%. The wind speed is west at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is 29.59. The dew point is 32 degrees, and the current wind chill is 36 degrees. It's 7:04 and time for Kansas News.
Kansas Information Network News. I'm Jen Austin. Kansans affected by the statewide cybersecurity incident this past fall are being contacted. Roxanne Stewart has more.
The Kansas judicial system is getting in touch with those affected by the attack, either by mail or by publication in local newspapers, on the judicial branch website, or with a notice via the media. Texts, calls, or emails are not being used to contact people. Investigation into the incident determined that about 150,000 people had personal information exposed during the cyber attack. For more information, go to kscourts.org. I'm Roxanne Stewart.
Police have been asking speeders to slow down, and now another driver has been pulled over for going 100 miles per hour or more. The McPherson County Sheriff's Office clocked a driver at 120 miles per hour in central Kansas on southbound Interstate 135. The officer cited the driver with a $435 speeding ticket and $108 in court costs. The car was registered in Kansas. This is Kansas Information Network News.
With today's inflation straining your budget, your Kansas Farm Bureau membership can help keep more money in your pocket. Save up to 75% off preferred home and office products with Office Depot. Special package pricing with Lifeline screenings. Exclusive savings on post-frame buildings with QSI. And join the Kansans who've switched to Kansas Farm Bureau health plans. And enjoy significant savings on nationwide medical health care coverage. Join today. For a full list of benefits, visit kfb.org/benefits.
Hey, you got any gum?
Yeah, check my backpack.
What's this?
Oh, that's naloxone. It can reverse an opioid overdose. I decided to always keep it on me after my friend almost died. It saved his life.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. That makes me want to have it with me, too.
You totally should. Check the pharmacy. It was actually really easy to get, and it's easy to use.
I definitely will. Thanks.
Naloxone saves lives. Learn more at cdc.gov.
Good morning, I'm Natalie Hadley with your KQNK News. Brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor in Norton. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach filed a lawsuit on behalf of 21 states opposing an ATF rule that would prevent law-abiding Americans from privately selling firearms. Kobach said President Biden's latest attempt to strip away the Second Amendment rights of Americans through ATF regulations will make many law-abiding gun owners felons if they sell a firearm to family or friends. And this rule is blatantly unconstitutional. The rule seeks to require a federal firearms dealer license for every individual who sells a firearm for anything the ATF sees as a profit, including currency, exchange of another firearm, or a service. And it could make a felon of a gun hobbyist who sells a firearm to another family member or a hunter who trades a firearm with another hunting buddy. In the suit filed on Wednesday in Arkansas, the attorneys general argued that the rule is unconstitutional because it's vague, violates the Second Amendment, and circumvents Congress. About 150,000 people who had some form of interaction with the Kansas courts might have had their data breached in the October cyber attack that took the judicial system offline for weeks. The Office of Judicial Administration on Monday announced the findings from a third-party investigation into the cyber attack. The office said the information accessed during the attack came from files given to the office through appellate court litigation, applications to the Kansas Bar, and other administrative records. And information such as Social Security numbers, driver's licenses, government identification cards, payment card information, tax identification card numbers, passports, and health insurance policy information could have all been accessed, among other data. Chief Justice Marla Luckert apologized on behalf of the Kansas Supreme Court, saying they're sorry to anyone who is personally impacted by the actions of the criminals who attacked the court computer system. She said the judicial branch respects the privacy of information given to them, and it's a high priority throughout the court system to keep that information secure. People impacted by the breach have been sent notification letters, and in cases where the person's address information wasn't available, their notifications have been published on the judicial branch website. Court officials stressed that notifications have not been made through phone, text, or email, and warned Kansans against engaging with anyone using these forms of communications to talk about the cybersecurity attack. A court webpage, kscourts.org, has been implemented to help address the questions. The attack disrupted all but one of the state's appellate court operations for weeks, with networks locked down and attorneys and judges relying on manual filing of court documents. In November, justices confirmed the attack was the result of a sophisticated foreign cyber attack and that the perpetrators stole data and threatened to post it to a dark website if their demands were not met. Information on whether the judicial branch met these demands has not been released. Luckert said the office has placed additional security controls in place and will work to reduce the possibility of future cyber attacks. Recently, Governor Kelly signed Senate Bill 115, establishing the Office of the Child Advocate, or OCA, as an independent state agency and granting the advocate access to certain files and records of children involved in child welfare proceedings. The concept of creating the Office of Child Advocate began in 2017 with the Child Welfare System Task Force's work, although between 2017 and 2021, legislators could not reach a compromise to establish the office. In October 2021, Governor Kelly issued Executive Order 2128 to establish the Division of the Child Advocate as an independent office. And since then, Governor Kelly has worked with legislators in the House and Senate from both parties to establish the Office of Child Advocate in statute. Senate Bill 115 codifies the position of the Child Advocate as the independent head of the OCA, appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. The Child Advocate, selected without regard to political affiliation, is an individual possessing extensive experience in case management, clinical services, or legal services to children and families. And the Child Advocate will serve a term of 5 years. Additionally, Senate Bill 115 outlines various duties and powers of the OCA and the Child Advocate, including receiving and resolving complaints related to child welfare, maintaining a public website, making referrals of child abuse or neglect to law enforcement, and submitting annual reports to designated entities. In Nebraska news, the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office reported that a man broke into a Hickman pharmacy on Saturday but didn't steal anything. Chief Deputy Ben Houchin said in the early morning hours, a man shattered the Meadowlark Pharmacy's front door and he tried crawling on the floor to avoid the motion camera but was unsuccessful. And according to Houchin, the man was also unsuccessful in finding the narcotic shelf and in removing the safe from the back room. No items were stolen, however, the business had $1,000 in damage. An investigation is ongoing, and anyone with information is asked to call the Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers at 402-475-3600. Houchin said the pharmacy was last burglarized on October 6, 2021, and during that break-in, the thieves stole $2,500 in drugs. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said on Saturday, deputies responded to a home near 334th and A Streets around 10 a.m. on a report of suspicious activity. According to the Sheriff's Office, 33-year-old Ronald Gallagher had stopped at the home and asked for gas, and deputies found Gallagher, who had an active felony warrant in Iowa, just north of the home. They ordered Gallagher to come out of his vehicle. However, he drove off, but was taken into custody after he drove off the road near 24th Street and Highway 34 near the Nebraska-Iowa border. Gallagher was arrested on suspicion of several charges, including possession of a controlled substance, and he's now awaiting extradition to Iowa. A Grand Island man is behind bars and two others were cited. And the Grand Island Police Department reported that 37-year-old Zachariah Towler was arrested for terroristic threats, use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony, third-degree assault, and third-degree assault mutual. 35-year-old Gabriel Acorda was cited for two counts of third-degree assault, menacing threats, two counts of child neglect, and one count of third-degree assault mutual. And 31-year-old Genovia Sanchez was cited for third-degree assault following a fight at a local elementary school over the weekend. According to Grand Island Police, just after 6 p.m. on Saturday, officers responded to a disturbance in the 300 block of South Clark Street, and when they arrived, they said it was determined that while inside the fenced area at Wasmer Elementary, Acorda threatened four bystanders, two adults and two juveniles, before engaging in a mutual fight with Towler. Captain Dean Elliott said the fight was provoked by an argument between juveniles, who then went and told their parents. The Grand Island Police Department said Towler struck Sanchez in the face while attempting to get to a Corda, and Sanchez pulled an adult female by her hair to get her off of a Corda. After Towler and a Corda fought, Towler got into his vehicle and drove it in the direction of Sanchez and another adult female, later stating that he was attempting to scare them off. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Is your financial advisor proactive or reactive? Hi, I'm Philip Eisenhagen, your Norton Edward Jones financial advisor. Regardless of what the market is doing, I'll stay in touch. Even when the market is down, we'll call you up. That's one way we continue to emphasize our relationship and understand your individual financial needs. Contact me today, 785-877-3373. That's 877-3373. Proactive, not reactive. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton County Board of Commissioners meeting that was held on Tuesday, April 30th, Commissioner Garrett Beidler called the meeting of the Norton County Board of Commissioners to order at 9 a.m. in the commission room, and in attendance were Richard Thompson, Garrett Beidler, and Marvin Matchett. Ted White with Norton County Solid Waste spoke with the commission on the construction and demolition rates. The fees were discussed because contractors stated that insurance companies are not reimbursing at the rate of the landfill fees. And John Sanders joined the meeting to confirm that this has been a concern. John stated that most global companies have adjusted, however, a few Kansas-owned mutual firms have not. Ted delivered an inspection report to the commission from Foley Equipment on the 953 CAT, and the report gave detailed itemization of the mechanics of the machine. Ted then reported the MSW pit is getting close to its capacity, and the commission should be aware that next year a new MSW pit will be needed. Ted also stated that his 2-inch trash pump is nearly the end of its life, and after discussion, a motion was made by Commissioner Matchett to purchase a new pump, with a second from Commissioner Thompson, and the motion passed. Justin Donovan spoke with the commission about contract mowing for Norton County. Justin stated that he has a tractor and mower and could do 3 townships for the county: Center, Garfield, and Rockwell. Pricing was discussed, and Justin will deliver a breakdown to the commission for review, and no decision was made at that time. The commission and county attorney reviewed the April 2024 vouchers and payroll, and the vouchers and payroll were signed and approved as submitted. Terry Laughlin with the Road Department spoke with the commission on the 2024 biennial bridge inspection report, and the report noted that 3 bridges will need maintenance or replacement. Jordan with Pinco Engineering joined the meeting by phone, and after review of the report, the commission agreed to place OS 123 on the replacement and will remove OS 76 and replace it with culverts. Terry reported that the Kansas Department of Health and Environment fuel tank and permits have been updated and are in good order with the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. He said there will be a May certification course, which some department employees will attend. Terry then spoke with the commission about a request from the Norton Mini Track to use the county water truck, and the Mini Track Speedway has agreed to do maintenance to the truck if needed. The commission approved the request as long as the Mini Track Speedway provides the county with an insurance certificate naming the county as a certificate holder. Tax abatement 2024-1128 was submitted to the commission for approval. The statement was issued for property that was damaged and needed reassessed, and the abatement was approved as submitted in the amount of $791.12. A motion was made by Commissioner Matchett to lift the burn ban. The motion was given a second by Commissioner Thompson, and the motion passed. The burn ban has been lifted. The commission discussed the bids that were submitted last week by Martin Tractor and Foley Equipment for a new motor grader. After review and discussion, a motion was made by Commissioner Thompson to purchase the Cat 140 15J motor grader from Foley using special machinery and lease purchasing funding. The motion was given a second from Commissioner Matchett, and the motion passed. A motion was made by Commissioner Thompson to approve the April 22, 2024 Commissioner Minutes, with the second from Commissioner Matchett, and the motion passed. And the meeting was then adjourned until May 6th. Your menu today for Eisenhower Elementary School: for breakfast, you'll have warm cereal with toppers, bananas, apple juice, and milk. For lunch today, you'll have Western bean bake, cheese stick, corn, pears, cornbread, and milk. For Norton Community High School and Junior High, your grab-and-go this morning will be mini cinnies, fruit, juice, and milk, and your lunch today will be spaghetti, fruit, and milk. And for Northern Valley Schools, your breakfast today will be Cook's Choice, along with assorted cold cereal. And your lunch today will be Sloppy Joe's, bun, potatoes, vegetable, and fruit. I'm Natalie Hadley. Your KQNK News was brought to you by Edward Jones Investments. Philip Eisenhagen is your financial advisor here in Norton. Your KQNK weather forecast for today. There'll be increasing clouds with the high near 74 and breezy, with a west wind of 15 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon, and the winds could gust as high as 40 miles per hour today. For tonight, it should be mostly cloudy with a low around 45 and a west wind of 5 to 15 miles per hour. On Wednesday, it should be sunny with a high near 70 and breezy, with wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. On Thursday, there's a chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m., and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 68 and breezy Thursday, with wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. On Friday, it should be mostly sunny with a high near 70. On Saturday, sunny with a high near 76. On Sunday, it should be sunny with a high near 81. And on Monday, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, it'll be sunny with a high near 83. Currently, with fair skies, it is 41 degrees. It is 720.